Should we start off with Hannah?
I never stand on this side because of all the wires. Mark asked if I could say some words, and I've been having a think about Samuel influence in my life. And I think probably the first interaction we had was when you kind of introduced me to Pete, my husband. So it's been quite significant. And I know Ruth Rice claims that she's the person that set that up, but we both know the truth. So, thank you from both of us. Pete obviously would have liked to be here today, but he's also quite busy leading our church in the world. So I suppose I've been doing some thinking about your influence in my life and yours and Esther and the girls. And it's huge. When we first got to interact, I was really quite poorly. And you and Ness invited me to go to Wales on this crazy Riddington Baptist Church weekend away. And it seemed very strange that I would be there because I wasn't part of the church. But you both said, come along, there's something in this. And so I did, and I had a great time, and I got to interact and reconnect with some amazing people. And through that, and through Ruth's influence, and through the journey of Renew, you took a chance to employ me, which felt ridiculous at the time, because I'd been on a crazy journey, and you guys as a church took a chance. Ooh, I'm really rubbish at goodbyes. And I'm so thankful that you took the time to nurture and encourage me and champion me. And it worked out pretty well. I now work in CAMHS as a therapist with children, helping their well-being. And the legacy is pretty huge. I'm now married to Pete. And we lead a church together, and you've also immensely blessed me with being the godmother of your kids. And so the concept of you being far away feels really hard, which is probably why it was God's prompting that I was the person that sent the job far away, because I'm not very good at listening, but I'm so glad that God is calling you onto something which is going to be amazing. And I don't think I'd have coped very well if somebody else had sent it, so sorry everybody, it was partly my fault. I was worshipping this morning and thinking about the picture which you often quote back to of you driving the bus, which God gave you when you came here for your interview. And you being the bus driver of this church and going on a journey. And I just think it's been amazing to see you grow and flourish and change lives and nurture and be true to who God's called you to be. So I feel very excited for the next chapter, and have no intention of not being a part of that. So thank you.
Sam will have a chance to reply. he might get the last 30 seconds, but Graham, do you want to come and talk?
Thank you. Well, I've been at this church for a year less than Sam, and I remember some of our first conversations when I said, I want to start an art club. And Sam said, no, you don't. Wait for a year and see what happens. And we had been convinced and convicted for various reasons that we should be in Ruddington and we should come to Ruddington Baptist Church. And the reason we came to Ruddington Baptist Church was a bacon sandwich, a copy of the Sunday Times, and a cup of coffee, which was the very first Mothering Day Sunday that we came to, which we thought was, wow, this is a different church. This is a church that's got something that others haven't. And it's continued through the 8 years. But a year later, Sam and I had a cup of coffee somewhere and we started talking about Renew. And so we thought, well, yeah, we'll give this a go. And Hannah came on board very early on as well, which was lovely. Where it's left me is it's left me as a very much more open person than I was before. I'm very closed in. And Renew is not about painting. It's not about whatever activity you do, really. It's about relationships. It's about getting close to people, trusting people, giving people your bits of your life and walking alongside them. And Sam has done that for me for the last 8 years. Hannah did it for me for the time that she's there, and I'm so pleased that she's here today. And I think that God has walked with me for my time here. I think sometimes I haven't realized it and I haven't sensed him, and other times it's been an absolute crash where he said, look, you have got to do this. And there are other times when, you know, I've gone along and thought, well, where is he? You know, I can't find him. And we have a bit of that struggle now. We have some absolute certainties. The absolute certainty I have is that Sam is going to a job that he's really well suited for, and it's really important that he goes and does it. He's left this church in a wonderful position. And those are some of the certainties, and I've expressed that certainty, certainly to Esther a couple of times, that, you know, God will provide and God will equip. And that's something he's taught me as well. It's something that Sam has brought to this church. While I'm very, very sad that I will miss not only a tremendous pastor, but a really, really good close friend, I'm so pleased that he's going to a job that he is so suited to. And I just wish him all the best.
Thanks, Graham. Who should we have next? Fiona, are you going to come and talk?
Thank you. Hi, everyone. It's so lovely to be here. Sam, when you first came to Ruddington, let's face it, you were a boy, weren't you? I can remember you coming down to my house. I don't know, we were having some meeting and Will was there, who's only, so he's my eldest son, and he's about a year younger than you. And I'd just made him a pizza, some kind of pizza, and Sam was looking longingly at it. I was like, do you want one? And he went, yeah. And I realised it, like, you were literally a year older than Will, who was roaring around being a very young man, just coming out of university, and I couldn't imagine him leading a church. My expectations, but just like, you were a young man. How amazing was that? But the first time I spent any time with you was at Soul Survivor. So we took the, Julian and I took the young people to Soul Survivor, didn't we? And Sam had never really met us properly at that point. When Sam went through the kind of induction process and things, we were just giving up our fostering, and we were at the end of 10 years of fostering, and life was quite hard, actually, and we took the young people away. And I can remember Sam admitting to me later that he was scared of Julian. Who could be scared of Julian, hey? But that was our first, literally, putting up big tents and things was our first interaction, wasn't it? And we took these young people away. And it was the first time I'd been away. We left Jim, but we'd finished fostering and we could leave the older children. And it was the first time Julian and I had been able to go to Soul Survivor together for a long time, because before that we'd had to take it in turns because we'd got so many babies and so many children, which was a joy in itself. And we had a great time. We really enjoyed it. But I can remember one of the evenings, and I don't know if you are aware of Soul Survivor, but it's mad. It's chaotic. It's crazy. There's thousands of young people all in one big, very hot, big tent. You have to sit on the floor. There's a lot of flashing lights and a lot of whiz-bang kind of sounds and things. And we were kind of looking after our group of people. And at the end, we had a prayer time. And God really spoke to me. And Sam was praying for me. I don't know whether you can remember this, Sam, can you? Because I became a sobbing mess of a middle-aged woman, because God showed me, I'm probably going to cry, but it was amazing. God showed me how my heart had been in a cage. And it was like one of those tea light things where, do you know what I mean? Where you've got your tea light in a cage. And I'd had to do that because of the fostering. Like, I'd had to go through so many letting go of the babies that I loved. And Sam was praying for me, and I just became this sobbing mess of a woman. And this young man, who was a year older than my son, held me and prayed for me, and, I don't mean physically held me, but stayed strong for me and prayed for me. And God did things for me that, over the years, at that time, I just didn't know what else I was going to do. Like, I'd just given up fostering. I didn't know what God had for me. It was hard. It was hard with Jimmy. Still is. Still keeps me busy. Sorry he's not here today. I know I've not been here much, but he's voting with his feet a bit because he's 15. So I've been taking him to another church, because that's where he wants to be. But you guys are still my family, and I still love you. And God's done an amazing thing, and I could not imagine then where I would be now in my career, what I've done. And I look back on that time and think about the wisdom beyond your years, Sam, of being there and praying for me. Obviously, God did the work, but you were there for me at that time. And I didn't go to Soul Survivor for me. I went for the young people. But God's good, isn't he? And does amazing things. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cry, but anyway.
Thank you, Fiona. Mark, where are you? Mark, yes. It's so nice to have you back here, Mark. And Jansen.
Thank you. It's nice to be back. It's lovely to be back. Now, we arrived after Sam and left before Sam. I don't think that's any reflection on you, Sam. So that's just how it worked out. It is great to be back. I think for me, obviously, I worked with children and families when I was here. And we'd come back from Colombia. I think we were trying to adapt to coming back to the UK after many years over there, and Yancy coming for the first time. And I think Sam and Esther, especially as a family, were there for us, supporting us, helping us adapt. I think Sam, I felt young, but he's 10 years younger than me, so I mean, he's even younger. But anyway, it's been interesting just seeing how the journey, what God's doing in Rurrington with the churches together. I think I worked with young people, and it was always children from here, from there, from elsewhere. It was never just one church. The children and the young people were united. And I think that's part of the vision that Sam brought here. Churches working together to make sure that it's a village, well, perhaps thinking what you just said about 1,100 people going on a Sunday, where it was. Maybe in 10 years' time we can have those sort of statistics. If you're a big fan of stats, we can get it back to 1,000 church attendees a month. But it's incredible to think that actually over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, the church has been working together. And I think that's amazing. That's part of the legacy that Sam is leaving, encouraging people across the village to, no matter whether you're a Methodist, Baptist, Anglican, or something better. working together. And actually, it's the same God we worship, and showing that to the young people here is amazing. I just want to finish. Over the past few weeks, months, it's obviously been tough for us, many of you will know, but Sam and Esther have been there for us as friends. Just want to thank you for that. And we're looking forward to going to see you in Crystal, as Emma calls it, instead of Bristol. It'll be great to join you there. So, yeah, just want to bless you. And thank you for the friendship. It took a while to get there, Sam, but we made it. So, God bless you. Thank you.
That's wonderful. So I've got asked Rosemary to come and just be the final person to just share a few words.
At a pinch, Sam is young enough to be my grandson. But I have to say that I've been able to look up to him as my pastor in every way. And it's difficult to think of, there's been many things, but I guess probably, now everybody's been crying and I didn't think I would, but I suppose the most memorable thing for me was that Sam was there for us when Colin was ill and when he died. And I remember we were up in, we had to go up to A&E in the middle of the night, and I didn't want to phone Sam too early in the morning, but I think it was probably about 8 o'clock. And then by lunchtime, he was up there, was just as we were going from A&E up to the ward, and actually Hannah came too, and stayed with us for a while until it was time for me to come home. And he visited a number of times and also the house and supported us so much. And then the night Colin died, he came round late at night and helped us, with me and my stepson, John Mark, and with so much advice and help at that time, and just being calm and practical things that we needed to do. And then, of course, he took the Thanksgiving service in such a very dignified way, and I will always be grateful for that, because I wanted it to be dignified, and it was. So after that, I actually wrote Sam a note, and I said, it's actually very rare to find in one pastor, in one person, good preaching skills, good pastoral skills, and good administrative skills. And I believe that Sam has all of those three in one person. I would also just like to say that Sam is not perfect. He is far too competitive at Scrabble. And he positively gloats if he beats me. But seriously, we are all vulnerable. And, he's no different. Sam is no different. There are three verses, Sam, that I would, that came to me, and I just want to mention those briefly. The first was from 2 Timothy, and it was Paul's advice to young Timothy. And you'll know this very well. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. And he's given you many gifts. And that was Paul's advice to young Timothy. Fan into flame those gifts. But never think that you're adequate in your own strength. Even Jesus said, by myself I can do nothing. And that's the second verse. That's from John chapter 5. And then the last verse is from the writer to the Hebrews who gave this advice. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So Sam and Esther and Megan and Eliza, you go with our blessing and fix your eyes on Jesus.
As a family, we learnt of Sam's imperfection pretty much straight away, because we invited him over for curry, and Kirsten had put the very best tablecloth on the table. Sam, in his eagerness to fill his plate right to the top, slopped it all over our clean tablecloth. And I'm not actually sure we've managed to get the stain out yet, so never mind. Sam, this is your moment. This is your chance to have a few reflections for yourself.
I've written down my thoughts because I think better that way, and otherwise I don't think I'd be able to cope and get through it all. And just to clarify, who puts a white tablecloth on for a curry? Come on. So, standing here on my last Sunday as minister of RBC feels really strange because, in part, actually, the past 9 years have gone really quickly. It only feels like yesterday that I was sat in my university house in Cardiff, and I had a phone call from Mark letting me know that the church wanted to be me to be their minister and hearing cheers in the background. And I'm actually really pleased that Mark is leading the service today because it feels like it started with the phone call from Mark and now he's leading this service on the last Sunday, and that means a lot to me, so thank you, Mark. But the fact that the past 9 years have gone so quickly, I think, is a good thing because people say time flies when you're having fun. And actually, that's been my experience in many ways of leading RBC, is that it's been a really fun time. And so I want to share some of my fun memories to start with. So I remember a few months into my time at Runton Baptist Church, and those of you who were here then will remember, I announced that we were going to do this event for the village Christmas market called Picture in a Manger, and that I would need everyone to come and get dressed up as nativity characters and stand in the cold for about 6 hours. Surprisingly, I didn't have many people sign up straight away. But then in typical Ruddington Baptist Church fashion, although I hadn't learned this at that time, so I was quite stressed, everyone turned up in force on the day. And then that actually became a regular feature for a number of Christmases to follow. And that was a really fun event and a fun time. We've also had two brilliant church weekends away in Kevinlea in Mid Wales. And actually, at first, it was a similar kind of experience. A few people took a little bit of convincing about the standard of accommodation, Gwyn. But we all had a really good time. And I look back and I remember particularly some of the talent shows that we had in the evening, where I vaguely remember Gareth dressed up with a nice wig and long hair and a dress. And I did look for that photo for this morning, but I'm afraid to say that I lost it when I changed my phone, and so I couldn't get that one out today. And then there are many other fun and fond memories, like two beer and carols events at the Framebreakers pub, Friday evenings with the big youth group. I've also absolutely loved doing so many different things in the local schools, from coaching hockey there and doing the school assemblies and the Easter Labyrinth and all kinds of stuff that we've done there. I'll also fondly remember summer barbecues at Graham and Karen's house in their garden, and men's curry nights and so many other things that I also haven't mentioned. But as well as fun, it's been one of the greatest privileges of my life to lead this church and to play such an active role in many of your lives. And I say that because being your minister has been a privilege, because it's put me in a really unique position that not many other people get, of actually being able to share in the joys and challenges and the good times and the bad times of many of your lives. And I can't say that I've ever relished sitting at a hospital bedside, or visiting someone on the death of a loved one, or supporting people with a family crisis, or performing a funeral. But actually, some of these experiences are the things that I will cherish most, because these occasions create an opportunity for a depth of connection and relationship that you don't get with people in your day-to-day life. And actually, I've learned so much personally about life and faith in these encounters. There's something really significant about being able to share in someone's sadness. And so actually I want to say a big thank you to those of you who have allowed me and trusted me to be a part of those moments, because that's meant so much to me. And equally, it's also been a joy to be involved in many celebrations as well. So I think in my time here, I've been involved in 5 baptisms, 4 dedications, and 6 weddings. And each of these has been a very different experience. And actually, what's been far more significant than actually doing the wedding or the baptism has been the lead up to these events, meeting with people and doing things like marriage preparation and baptism preparation. And actually, the things, as I've reflected, the things that I've found most fulfilling and that have meant the most to me in my time here have been these opportunities when people have given me permission to play such an active role in their life and faith. And as I said, the only way that I can describe that is a real privilege. So thank you to those of you who have let me be involved in those kind of things as well. As I look back to the start of my time here, I remember a conversation I had the night before I was interviewed by the leadership team for this role. And I spent the night in Leicester with a friend of mine, John, who is a minister there, and Pete also came down, Hannah's husband Pete, who's also a minister. And we sat down and we looked through the church's profile together to kind of prepare me for the interview the next day. And there are a couple of things that really stood out to us about the profile of Ruddington Baptist Church. And the first thing was that it stated that RBC weren't looking for a particular type of minister, but for the right minister. And this wasn't dependent on age or gender. The second thing that stood out to me was that it was clear that RBC is a church open to change and to trying new things. After all, you were a church that had sold your old church building and were doing something very different. Often with these kind of church profiles that are sent out to ministers, we read them and take them with a pinch of salt, as not everything that is written is always strictly true. However, my experience at RBC has been completely in keeping with the words that I read there. And so I'm really grateful to you as a church that you took the risk of appointing me. I was 21 when you interviewed me and started here a month before my 23rd birthday. I hadn't even finished my third year, I haven't even started my third year of college really when you appointed me. But you gave me an opportunity that many other churches wouldn't have given me. And that came about because of your willingness to try something different and your openness to being guided by God above everything else. And that has continued to be my experience of RBC throughout my time here. On a few occasions, I've approached the church meeting slightly nervously and apprehensively with an idea of something we could do. And quite rightly, people always ask questions and want to know how things will work. But generally, the church has been really open to what God is saying. I think of things like moving from the youth centre to here at St. Peter's Rooms. I think of starting the joint children's work with St. Peter's, partnering with Renew Wellbeing, doing the cafe and then later Renew Green Spaces as well. And more recently, the decision to buy a house with Hope Into Action, which we're still working on at the moment. You've always had that openness to God and that willingness to take a risk by trying something new. And the reality of taking a risk is that some of these things work out and some of them don't. But this openness to trying things and changing is actually quite rare in churches. And it's certainly made my job a lot easier, as well as giving me the opportunity to explore so many different things in my time here and grow in my ministry. So I want to thank you all for that openness to what God is saying and for being willing to try things and take risks. 2 of those big risks have been the appointment of Hannah and then Mark. And I mention this again because it shows what I've been talking about, the willingness to listen to God and try something new. But I also mention Hannah and Mark because through working with them, I've formed 2 of my best friendships. You may not realise it, but actually being a minister can actually be quite a lonely role despite being surrounded by really lovely people. And working with Hannah and Mark has been a real blessing to me in my time at RBC. And actually, I've learned a lot from both of them. And I think I'm a better minister because of working with them. And so I hope I've equally made an impact on their lives, and I thank them both for their words earlier. And I want to thank you as a church for appointing them, and just say thank you again to them, because they're not just my two wonderful colleagues, but my two wonderful friends now as well. And then it's hard to mention individuals without leaving people out, but I do want to mention all those who've been on the leadership team in my time here. So Mark and Derek and Ed and Ness and Kaz and Mel and Ruth and Leonie and Fiona and Jacob and Rachel and Sarah and Rosemary and Graham and Chris and Tony. One of the things that has stood out to me in my time here is I've learned a little bit about leadership, and I didn't know much about leadership before I got here. And for me, I'm not really an authoritarian leader who says, this is where we're going, and it's ahead of people. I'm not kind of pushing people from behind. I like to lead from amongst people. And because of that, I've really valued all these other people that I've worked with and who have served on the leadership team with me, because each person has brought different gifts and abilities and perspectives. And the leadership team constantly changes and adapts as people leave and other people join, but it's always been a pleasure to be part of. And I look at the current team that you've got, and I'm certain that the church is in really capable hands moving forward as well. Like most of you, there are activities in RBC which I attend every so often, and then there are others which I'm at on a weekly basis. And actually, the thing that I want to mention is the Renew Cafe that Graham's already talked about, because this is a group that I've been involved in hosting weekly. And as Graham has already said, it was a group that we set up about 5 or 6 years ago. It's never been a large group of people, but for me it's been a really significant and special place. The whole idea behind Renew is that there's no them and us, but it's all about community and friendship in a place where it's okay not to be okay. And both myself and Graham have regularly said, and I think Rosemary and Hannah would say it as well, that Renew has been just as important for us as for those who have attended from outside the church. For me, that's been a resting point in the middle of my week, and it's been a place of really deep relationships, and a place where it's been okay to be sad and to be happy, to weep and to laugh. And actually, I've spent most of my time there laughing internally as I've sat there, because I've sat there drinking coffee, playing Scrabble and talking with lovely people, going, this is my job. This is great. And so I'm hoping to set up something similar in my new role as well. Whilst I said that I don't want to name some people and not others, and I really hope no one takes offence if their name hasn't been mentioned, because I love and appreciate all of you, but there are three people I just want to mention by name. And the first is I want to say a thank you to Ness. Many of you will know that Ness was on the leadership team with me when I was appointed and started at RBC. And for many years, Ness has been as close as a colleague, because she's involved in so many things throughout the week and we've worked so closely together. And I particularly want to say, Ness, thank you for offering me your creative mind on so many occasions. I often have ideas but don't know how to put them into practice, and Ness has always been really good at helping me with that. But also for your enthusiasm and the way that on so many occasions you've challenged me in my faith as well. And then I also want to say a thank you to Derek and Sylvia, because actually Runton Baptist Church wouldn't run very well without them, and I think you all agree with that. Derek, I don't know if Sylvia's here, but you have been like my Ruddington grandparents, and I can't say how much I respect and appreciate you and the way that you serve this church and your commitment to keeping the hub up and running and your obvious love and passion for Jesus, and the way you tidy and clean my office when I go on holiday is amazing, even when there are old crusty mugs in there. Thank you so much. And so I do feel like I've missed quite a lot of things in terms of what I could say and memories that I could mention and people who I haven't named, but I can't speak forever. And so I just want to just say a couple of thoughts based on things that I've said in recent sermons, and this won't take me very long, but I think they're important for me and for RBC. And the first thing that comes to my mind is the word unity. On
Pentecost Sunday, I preached about the importance of unity and said that both RBC and Ruddington are really special places when it comes to working together and with unity. The way this church operates as a family is really unique, as in the relation as it is as well in the relationships between the other churches in this village. I don't think there are many ministers who could say that it's been a pleasure leading church meetings, but actually here it really has been a pleasure leading church meetings. And actually, one of the things that stands out to me about unity is that it doesn't always mean agreeing, but it means listening to each other well and disagreeing with each other well and putting God and his kingdom before our own wants and desires. And as a church, RBC has always been really good at that. And the message that I gave on Pentecost when I preached on that was to keep working at that unity and not to neglect it. However good it is here, don't neglect it because it's brilliant. Particularly in times of change and with challenging conversations, keep listening to God and each other. And when you disagree, do it well. And then I also want to just give a reminder of Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 that I preached on last week. Paul prayed that God's people would be strong in faith, strong in love, and that the outcome of that would be that God would do immeasurably more than all they can ask or imagine. And actually, that's my prayer again for you this morning as a church. May God make you strong in faith, strong in love, and may you end each day amazed at the wonders he has shown you. And so Esther and I and the two girls aren't going to be leaving immediately. We have to wait for a house move to go through, so you're going to see us around a little bit more. But before we do leave the church, we wanted to give you a gift to show our appreciation to you and to remember us by as well. And I think Esther's going to bring it up. And maybe the girls are going to come as well. And while they come up, now, before I give you this gift, I know what churches can be like. And so a lot of churches would say, our ex-minister gave us this gift, and now we need to display it in the hub for years to come, and no one can ever take it down. I give you permission not to do that, and I don't think you would anyway, and I won't be offended if next week it ends up in the filing cabinet in the office. But my prayer is that when someone finds it in the cabinet in a few years' time, they'll smile when they think of us, and also as they remember what this gift signifies, which I'll tell you in a moment. So perhaps we could give it to someone. Who could we give? Should we give it to Jacob? And Jacob can unwrap it. So we were thinking what we could get you, and we thought of a Welsh love spoon. One, because you all know that I'm Welsh, but also because love spoons symbolise, obviously, love and respect, and the different elements of a love spoon represent different things. And so on this one, the cross on top represents our faith in Christ. And then the Celtic knotwork in the heart in the middle represent eternal and steadfast love. And so I thought, actually, in many ways, this represents that verse from Ephesians 3 that I was just talking about being strong in faith and strong in love. And so I hope that this will serve as a reminder of that as well, and also a reminder of our affection for all of you. So again, I want to say thank you to you all as my church family. I will love you and miss you all dearly.